I want to talk about why healing is God's passion and what biblical healing means in our world. Ideas that have kept me inspired. Truths that have anchored our ministry through these many years. Concepts that have kept me balanced. Facts that have kept my faith alive. Matthew 4, 23 and 24, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people. That's our ministry, isn't it? That's not the ministry of the church per se. That's the ministry of every minister. It's the ministry of every person, of every Christian, of every believer. His fame went throughout the country. They brought to him all sick people with divers diseases and torments, and those possessed with devils and lunatics, and those with paralysis, and he healed them. We're healers. That's our mission. And great multitudes followed him. Multitudes will follow us when we heal them. The closing day of our meeting in Madurai, India, there was a great field of people, probably 100,000 people. They were so beautiful, out on a big flat field, and the platform was covered full of Indian preachers, pastors, all in their white clothes, beautiful. And as they sang, I asked them to wave their hand, and they did, and it looked like a field of ripened grain, their brown skin, and the sun was bright. It really looked beautiful. And as they waved and sang, it was like heaven, you know. And I hollered while everybody sang. I said, preachers, because some of the Indian preachers needed perking up a little bit. You know, they can tend to be a little hesitant. And I said, preachers, look at your country. Your country is saying to you, preach me your Christ with miracles and we'll follow you. That's what they're saying. Preach me the Jesus of miracles and we'll follow what you tell us to do. I believe that. Great multitudes followed him. John 17, he said, as thou, Father, hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. You can't make it any clearer than that. He came and showed us how to do it. One of the great things that Daisy said, she was full of little short statements like this, but she said one day, honey, why did Jesus come? And I puckered up to give her a good pontifical answer, like we husbands do to our wives, you know. And I saw a twinkle in her eye, and I figured I better shut up. And I listened. She said, he came to show us God. Well, I said, that's what I was going to tell you. But she said, that's not all. He came also to show us us. And I had never heard anybody say that. As my Father has sent you, even so sent me, even so send I you. And lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world. You can't beat that. That's reliable. You can count on it. I count on that. That's not something to read. That's not That's not just words to me. That's not a ritual or a ceremony. I believe that. When you walk out on a platform amidst a sea of hurting people, surrounded by demoniacs, lepers, witch doctors, people dying and crying and moaning, when you walk out there, you cling to something. What you cling to are promises like that. Lo, I am with you always. And when I walk out there, I practice, as Kenyon said so often, wrote so often, practice the presence of Jesus. I believe in Paul's revelation, Christ in you, in me. Jesus Christ alive in me, in the same way that God was alive in Christ. You believe that? I believe that. And when I walk out there before those people, I depend on that. That must be fact. Otherwise, there's not anything I can do for those people. I don't happen to have any tingles or gifts or blessings or touches or fires or anything in me that I've never had anything like that. I'm nothing at all, but I have this. And this is what I bank on. He has chosen us. He trusts us. He sends us. I'm talking to you. He sends us to heal the hurting people of our world, to value and to esteem them as His special creation, to love and serve Him by loving and serving them. That's the secret. I want to plant some dynamic seeds in you about the believer's mission of healing. Seed power is ultimate power. Seed power is the only absolute true prophecy. What is planted will come up. You can bank on wheat if you plant wheat. Never fails. True prophecy. We have the power to plant what the people need, and we can bank on it if we trust it. The greatest parable Jesus gave concerned seed power. And we must ponder this until we come to the place we trust the seed. We believe in the seed. Often believers need to take a fresh look at life to realize how they can help heal a broken world. The worst disease that a person can have is the deadly virus of a surrendered will, of an empty life of neutrality, without focus, without commitment to do something. When you reach that place, you're dying. The greatest revelation that God has ever given to humankind is sending Jesus to show us that His will is to bring health and dynamic living to people. That is His mission. That is our mission. That keeps a smile on our face, a spring in our steps. We're not duds. We're somebody arrived, important, with something good to say to everybody. We have life, and we transmit that life. That's His mission. That's our mission. I'm alive. He's alive. I'm alive. God is a life giver. He can even give life to the dead. You know how we know that? He came back from the dead. If he had not come back from the dead, we cannot be raised from the dead. But he came back, we can come back. If you're dead tonight, spiritually, if you're dragging, if you've lost the fire that this conference was put on to share with you, come alive tonight. So many people are already dead while their hearts are still beating. That's a tragedy. In one way or another, they've lost their dreams, their ambitions, their desires for a better life. It's tragic to lose that. They've surrendered their fight for self-esteem. They've compromised their potential. They've settled. What a tragedy to settle for mediocrity. Don't do it. They've accepted nights of tears. Don't do it. They're dead while they live. Don't die when your heart's still beating. They're boxed in their negative world. They've chosen to give up. Don't do it. As long as you can move, don't do it. As long as you can talk and touch and bless, you can heal. You're a healer for the world. Don't do it. People have chosen to die when they could choose to live. Tonight, those kind of people, if there's anybody like that left in this fire conference on this closing night, you can experience the greatest miracle in the world. You can come back from the dead tonight. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing to be able to say that with conviction and know it can take place. That's the healing that God wills for you. That's every Christian's mission of healing. In my book, The Best of Life, on page 131, I wrote something that is good for people like that. I wrote this: God has given me a power secret which I alone control. Soak this up. Listen to it. Get it off the tape. Repeat it. Get the book. Read it. It is my right of choice, my ability to decide how much I want out of life, how high I want to climb, how rich I want to be, how long I want to live, how much power I want to have, or what goals I want to reach. Say, I'm listening. Say, I'm hearing. I inform myself. I set my targets and I achieve my goals because I choose to win. I have decided that God and me cannot be losers together. Are you hearing me? Somebody's hearing me, or I wouldn't have been impressed to bring this to you. I recognize that God is at work in me. I can't afford to ignore him. He does not reduce himself to my standard, but raises me to his standard. I have chosen and I have decided to get life's best. Have you? Say, I have. Because I am God's best. Say, because I am God's best. He created me in his likeness, first class, all the way. I ought to be having you repeat these things. Do you believe them? Hallelujah. They're real. They're real. We are the people of God. We're the nobility of the kingdom of God on this planet. We're here for a glorious purpose. It's in our hands. His mastership is in me. The only person who can limit me is me, because I make my own decisions. I choose life, success, happiness, health, and prosperity. I have decided. Have you decided something? I have. Have you decided to die before your time? Or have you decided you will not die before your time? You will live life to its fullness. Young people, watch it. It can happen to young people. They can get down on themselves. Don't do it. You've got life before you. Young people are committing suicide all across the country. They're doing crazy things. I'm talking to you. I have decided to say yes to God's best, because that alone glorifies Him. That alone fulfills my life. And that alone makes my world better. That is every believer's healing mission. There are only two essentials in our believer's mission of healing. Number one, what do we believe? And number two, what do we do about it? That's all. Romans, you know it, 10 and 10. With the mouth, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. That's what we believe. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Our mission of healing, our calling, our commitment, our focus is, you ready? Listen, to serve God by serving people. Get the tape and copy these lines down. To see God through seeing people. To recognize God by respecting people. Well, that'll stretch you a little bit. I don't want to insist on it too strong, but ponder it. Ponder it. See what God will show you out of these lines. To learn of God by observing people. Yeah, think about it. People are not to be ignored. God is in them. To discover God by discovering the value of people. Don't tell me you believe in God and don't believe in people. And you think everybody is a skeptic. No, no. That reflects your attitude toward God. To connect with God by relationship with people. Say, I like it. Tell me some more. Okay, I'm glad you asked. Communicate with God by rapport with people. You ever thought of that? Don't tell me you can talk to God when you can't talk to people. Don't tell me God turns you on when people turn you off. No. We find God. Jesus said, what you do to the least of these people, you do to me. Our mission is to glorify God. How? By putting up our hands. That's good. We do that. But no, by esteeming people. That glorifies God. You ever think of that? We can't run around criticizing, condemning everybody, and then come and glorify God. No, that don't work that way. I'm talking about our mission of healing. The world needs healing. They don't need religion. It needs healing. To honor God by valuing people. To love God by honoring people. To walk with God by walking with people. You ever think of that? Yeah, that may give you a new slant on things. Think it over. Don't make a doctrine out of it. I'm just trying to think of something to stir you up on this fire conference. Make you go home happy with new ideas, something to preach about, something to motivate you to study the scriptures and preach better. See? Our mission. We're saved and we become saviors. We're healed and we become healers. We're lifted. We're lifted and we become lifter-uppers of people. We're blessed and we become blessers. For some mysterious reason, I grasped that concept early in life. I was saved at the age of 12. I began to preach in the little country church at the age of 15. I was married at the age of 18. I became a missionary to India, Daisy and I did, at 21 and 22. Why? Simply because we didn't have a call or anything, but we just felt they needed what we knew about Jesus more than people in our country, so we went to them. We went to the needy people. We failed because we didn't know much. But we came home, and when we came home, God was merciful to us and knew it was our ignorance. You know, we were brokenhearted. We loved the people. We wanted to help them. We saw the millions of people, but we came home brokenhearted. But we learned the most valuable lesson, the most valuable lesson that I can imagine. We learned that Christianity is a miracle way of life. And without miracles, Christianity is only a philosophy. Bishop Reed from England says, no Jesus, no miracles, no Jesus. He harps on that. That's a good thing to harp on. We came home brokenhearted, and that was when the Lord was very merciful to us. We wanted to find someone that knew about miracles because we didn't know about it. We had prayed for sick people in our ministry before we were Pentecostal, but nothing happened, and that I can remember. So we hadn't seen miracles, and we were heartbroken. But we saw the most important thing. We saw the masses of people and the emptiness of religion, dead religion. That affected us for life. So when we came home, we wanted to find someone that knew about miracles. We heard about Smith Wigglesworth. We were going to go to his meeting, and he died. So we heard about Amy McPherson. We had heard about her. We were going to go to the temple and see those big cases of stretchers and crutches and canes and all that stuff. And she died just before we went. And so we were near the Assemblies of God campgrounds in Oregon, at Brooks, Oregon. So we heard the good news that Dr. Charles Price was going to be the speaker that year. So we were going to go. He was a miracle man. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We had taken a whole stack of his Golden Grain magazine with us to India. And so we were anxious to hear him, and he died. Three in a row, right when we were in agony looking for anybody with miracles. And he died. And so then they told us that Hattie Hammond was going to preach, was going to be the speaker. So we thought, well, we'll go. We'll go. It's not very far. We'll go listen to her. And that woman, a great woman of God, we didn't know her before. We hadn't heard of her. A great woman of God. Probably the greatest woman preacher the Assemblies of God ever had. She was one of the great instrumentalities of bringing Pentecost into the historic church denominations. Very talented woman. And she preached on the subject, if you ever see Jesus, you'll never be the same again. Out of John chapter 1. Everybody running to see Jesus and getting somebody, bringing him to see Jesus. And we went home weeping, wiping tears to watch the road. And the next morning, at 6 o'clock, Jesus walked in our bedroom and I saw him. As the first of four visions, God gave me four visions. I don't tell this often because I don't want people to chase visions. I needed something. I didn't have the kind of teaching you have. Today, we have truth, marvelous truth. We don't need to chase visions. But I needed something. And I saw Jesus when he came in the room. It changed my life forever. I lay there from 6 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon before I could move. When I came out, I said, took Daisy in my arms. I said, honey, we're not preaching a dead religion. We're preaching a living Christ. He's risen. He's Lord. I knew he was alive. It changed my life forever. And that's as fresh today as ever. And right on the heels of that, a man of God came to Portland. All the churches of Portland put on a big joint healing campaign, which was a very rare thing to do back then. And all the people came. 8,000 people packed that big auditorium. And this man came and preached the gospel in such a simple way. And when he made me think of Jesus. He was so simple in his presentation. When he made an invitation for people to be saved, hundreds of them came forward. I wanted to do that. I lived for that. And so God let us see that. And when I watched him, and then he prayed for the sick, and miracles took place, and I watched him, and I had my second vision. I saw Jesus in a person. I saw Jesus in that man. That's where he is. That's where he works. That's where he ministers. That's where he lives today. He was in a Jew, but now he's in you. You understand that? Never forget that. Never forget that. And so that was the second vision. So we were so overwhelmed with the magnitude of this demonstration that we saw before our eyes. We didn't go to bed. We opened our Bible, sat down at our breakfast table, and began to read. And that's where we found all of these scriptures that are in the New Testament. We read the Bible through every year, but we missed all these verses. We missed them. And we found that Jesus had given to his followers power and authority to cast out devils and to heal the sick and to cleanse lepers. He gave it to them. They had it. They could go do it. They went out and proved it, come back and said it works. And we were overwhelmed. And that was the third vision. We saw Jesus in his word. And we looked at each other, goggle-eyed, and said, well, there's nothing left for us to do but to do something about it. We've got it figured out. It's true. Let's do it. So we ran ads in the paper and invited the people to church to bring the sick. They brought them, and we preached. I guess I preached pretty good. Lots of people got saved, and we called the people that were sick and laid hands on them, and glory be, they were healed. It was marvelous. Little deaf and dumb girl healed, a woman with her hip crushed. 14 years earlier, and her leg was 6 inches shorter, drawn up because an incompetent doctor had set the bones crooked, and we heard those bones crack as it straightened out. And we had our fourth vision. I discovered Jesus in me. Jesus in me. That's the Pauline revelation. You haven't understood redemption until you understand that. The reason Christ can be in us is because he's paid for us so that our sins are expunged forever. What the blood of bulls and goats can never do. But Jesus did it for us. They had to bring offerings again and again and again. But Jesus came once. Once. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And redeemed us. We have to get Paul's revelation straight. We are redeemed. It's different. Everything concerning our approachment to God changed when Jesus died on the cross. Everything changed. All the old system became obsolete. All of it. You ever think about that? When John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world," they cut his head off. Because if that was true, if the sins of the world could be taken away, then all that they were, all of their sacrifices that they were bringing to offer to God were no longer efficacious, no longer needed. They didn't need to bring them. Everything changed. Isn't it shocking to think about it? Didn't need the priests anymore. Didn't need the temple anymore. Didn't need the altar anymore. Didn't need the place to offer the lambs anymore. Didn't need any of that. A new way was opened. And who was the way? Jesus was the way. And when he came and he redeemed us, then we could be new people. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Every life here has purpose, a divine purpose, a divine mission of healing. We can all be healers. We are meant to be healers. We need to grasp the big picture. My daughter, Dr. LaDonna, wrote a book, The Big Picture. Get it. It's wonderful. It's being scattered all over Russia and several other countries. The big picture. It's very important. We all need to see God's big plan. Discover our meaning. What do we mean to our world? We need to discover the reason we are here and why we live and the power of love. I wrote that book, Why, after Daisy died. When she died, we took all of her insurance money and sent it to Russia to the press and bought books and scattered them all across the country. I had to either stay home and feel sorry for myself or go to Russia. And so we went to Russia, to 10 countries, to 10 cities across Russia, big auditoriums, every one of them packed out, and that saved me. That helped me. But that happened because I decided to love again. I decided I must keep on loving. I wasn't going to get married again, but I could love again. I could live again. I must live. I must love. I must heal. I must bless. I must reach out. And that's what happened. That's why that book has been such a blessing. I wasn't going to print it in Russia. We printed 10 books. And the people, there were two women in the press who could read English. And they read that book. And they begged me. They came to beg me, please include this one in Russia. I said, no, 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 no. That's the story of my woes after I lost my wife. That's my lessons that I learned. No, no, no. This is for Russia. I said, why do you say that? They said, Russia is hurting. Russia is hurting. Throughout the 70 years of communism, our families have been split up. Our husbands and wives have been torn from each other. Children have been taken off and turned into state institutions. Russia is hurting. Russia is sorrowing. Russia is lonely. Did you know I get more letters from Russia from precious people that were hurting? That book helped them in Russia. Isn't that beautiful? Listen, listen. We're healers. We're healers. That's our mission. He saves us. Then he sends us as healers. Listen to the Great Commission in common language. You ever think about reading it in common language? Let me give you some lines here. They're interesting. Jesus said, we know all this King James stuff, but listen to it in my lingo. Just real common stuff. Just boiling it down to essence. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What does that mean really? I wrote down, go tell what Christ's death did for people. See, go tell how Jesus died. Go tell it to people. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. I wrote down, believing your report, they'll be converted. Simple. Next one. These signs will follow them that believe. I wrote down, miracles will take place when they get this new life. You believe it? This is what we have a hold of. This is what we are. This is the kind of people we are. We're charged with this kind of stuff. In my name they shall cast out devils. Devils will obey you. Don't worry about them. Simple. Keep it simple. They'll speak with new tongues. Yeah? What did I write down? You'll talk on new levels to rich people and poor people alike, to politicians, to business people, to chemical dependents, to the sick. You'll talk new languages. Nice way of looking at it. Yeah, I believe in new tongues, but I also believe talking on different levels. Talk to anybody. When we are the people of God that walk with God, we can talk to anybody and they'll listen to us. We're masters. Don't look at me like that. Say, I like it. Yeah, good, good, good. Because what you have, everybody wants. Get it in your head. What you have, everybody wants. That's what keeps me going. My world is so hungry for me. When I arrive and walk up on the platform, they look at me in awe. What is this? A saint or an angel or what? What is this? And to be honored to tell them about this Jesus and what he's paid for. There's nothing like it. You can heal. Hallelujah. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink in a deadly thing, it will not hurt them. I wrote down this and stuff. You'll overpower the evil that degrades society. You believe that? We're healers. We're lifters. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I wrote down, you'll touch people with new love that cures sickness and restores hopelessness. Just our presence. People that have given up on life will come back to life and say, I can go again. Just because they meet us. Are you that kind of a person? Become that kind. That when you get there, you're wearing a smile and your eyes twinkle. And there's a spring in your step. You're not a drag. Stand up and if there's going to be a step, take it good. Nobody wants a drag. You won't turn them on, and then you'll be mad at them and go home and criticize them because they don't believe in you. Let the sun rise in your face. Love people. They depend on you. This is a fire conference. Love conference. Hallelujah. 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 Believe in your touch. Christ is in you. When I touch people, I'm conscious that there's a power in me they can't see. I depend on that power. Everybody thinks it's some anointing I've got. It's not. Everybody thinks it's some gift I've got. It's not.